afternoon. It's good to see all y'all again. Surprised you all have not gotten tired of my voice. It's one of those things what I was worried about as I kept on preparing my lessons that by the sixth time you heard me in 2 weeks, it might get a little dull. But this morning I want to talk about a subject that is dear to me. One that I had to learn and I'm still learning currently that is always constant with me. And this subject comes with certain questions such as, how do I deal with my brother? How do I deal with someone other than myself? How do we deal with each other? All of us are different. We've all got different likes, different dislikes. Some of us enjoy different stores to go to, Kroger or Walmart. Some of us enjoy different sports teams. There's a certain team in Arkansas that I won't mention because it's okay, but there are better teams like the Texas Longhorns. Some of us prefer physical activity, others prefer more mental activity. But on a more serious note, how do I deal with someone who disagrees with what I teach? How do I deal with someone who disagrees with the way I was raised or the way I handle certain situations? Even with all our differences, there's one universal answer to how we deal with these things. And that answer is very simply patience. Why must we be patient? Growing up, I was often told to be patient, Zach. Be patient. You have to wait for that. You can't have that yet. As a kid, I never really understood that, and I kept whining and complaining and still got the same answer. But as I've gotten older, I understand the value of patience, the need for patience, and why it matters. In the New Testament, patience is mentioned 24 times. But there's a difference between patience and endurance. There are two different ideas that have two different ways of reasoning. In verses such as Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 12, we read, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me." In this verse, we see the difference in steadfastness and patience. In Hebrews chapter 6, we read, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have this full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Patience and endurance are very different ideas. They're often clumped together because they work together. Turn with me to James chapter 5. The two words for endurance and patience are often used in conjunction with each other because they work with the same things. James chapter 5 and verse 7, we'll start there. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Because they're written together in verses, I often think they mean the same things. They go together, and so they're obviously talking about the same thing. However, it's not so. Endurance is the idea of continually going and going and going until you finish something. This is why it's often talked about as a race, finish the race of faith. Because in a race, you need endurance. When I run, if I'm running longer than 3 miles, I have to remind myself that I've got to finish whatever distance it is. And if it's today, I've got to run 7. So when I get to that 6th mile, I'm going to have to realize that I've still got one more. But it's one of those things that I've got to keep pushing myself. I've got to continually go until I finish that race. Because when you get to a certain distance, you have to turn around and you have to go all the way back. Endurance is there for our sufferings. When we deal with sufferings, we must endure. We must push through and continue to go through them until they are finished. However, patience is the idea of being slow to anger, slow to irritation. Patience is being able to tell someone that you're working right now and that while you'd love to sit there and talk, you'd have to get back to your work. Patience is the idea of dealing compassionately and kindly with someone other than yourself, no matter how many times you feel irritated or frustrated with them. The two ideas are very different from each other, but equally important as Christians. But today I want to just focus on patience and that itself. There's a reason patience is mentioned so many times in the Bible. In the New Testament, you're dealing with a world of many different people. In the Roman Empire, you've got different nationalities, different types of people wherever you go. Because it took over the known world at the time. The apostles would have dealt with different types of people. At Ephesus, it was a marketplace. You would have been filled with Jews, with Romans, with Greeks, with Asians, all different types of people and all different viewpoints. And you would have had patience. You would have had to have patience for all. So my very first point is that patience is universal. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll see this idea that patience is a universal characteristic. 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with all. This means if it's universal, there are no exceptions. It's for everyone. It works with everyone. It doesn't matter if I'm dealing with someone who has the same faith as me or someone who is dealing with the same or a different faith than me. My patience should work for everyone. If I were at Panera and I were sitting there studying my Bible and working along a lesson, and someone came up to me who was of a different faith, and they started asking me why I believe what I believe, and then told me why they believed what they believed. If I was impatient, didn't listen to a single thing they wanted because I was focused on what I wanted to get to, then I wouldn't be listening to their understanding. I wouldn't be listening to what they needed to know. It wouldn't be because I didn't try. It would be because I wasn't patient enough with what they were saying. I was impatient in trying to get to myself. You see, patience is universal because it works with everyone. And if it works with everyone, it helps us to build our relationships. If I am patient with someone else's ideas, it will help us to grow. Because I'm listening and trying to understand what they're really coming from, then I can talk to them from where I'm coming from and try and work with them. It's a lot more effective if I have patience than if I am trying to rush through what I want to get to and pay no mind to what someone else wants. Paul doesn't write, "Be patient with all," in this verse. And mean, oh, be patient with all except those who irritate you. Be patient with all except that one person who constantly picks on you. No, to be patient means to be patient with all, with everyone. That means putting aside all dislike, all irritation, and having an understanding and a willingness to work with someone, to have patience with someone. And if we're able to show universal patience, then we'll be able to develop our relationships. Our friendships, our relationships will grow because of our patience. Because that person will know that we truly care about what they want, what they're saying, rather than us just caring about ourselves. Patience will help us listen better to someone's ideas, someone's problems, and find out a way to work with it, to fix it, to help it. That's why patience is universal, because it works with everyone. Not only is patience universal, but patience is adaptable. In this same verse, we have three different verbs before we are told to be patient with all. The verbs are admonish, encourage, and help. If patience is adaptable, that means all three of these verbs are able to be used in having patience. To admonish means to reprimand firmly. It means if someone has done me wrong, yes, I'm going to have patience with them, but I'm also going to be firm with them and telling them how I feel wronged. To admonish the idle, as we're told in this passage, is to admonish those who are lazy. Idle means lazy or sluggish or not doing anything. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In this passage, we have a warning considering idleness. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. You see, if we are idle, then we become a burden to people. We become a burden to those who are trying to help. We see that the apostles worked for their bread. They worked for their food because they understood the problems of being idle. And we also understand that if we see someone who is idle, we are to admonish them. We are to encourage them to not be idle, to show them that there is work to be done. The apostles warned the Christians about busybodies too, about those who appeared to be doing work but weren't truly doing work, those who constantly seemed busy but weren't really getting anything done. And you know, we've all had these moments in school where I was in class. If I was being a busybody, I would fill out the worksheet and then zone out for the rest of the class. But it would look like I did the work because that worksheet was finished. But I really wasn't learning anything. I really wasn't getting anything done. You know, if I was being a busybody here, and I was just sitting there, and I would give Jacob a sermon every week, but that's all, and I would just kind of go through the motions. Well, if I was being a busybody and Jacob came up into my office and started yelling at me and flipping things at me and telling me to be a better worker, yeah, that would frighten me. That would get me to work for a few days, but it would kind of wear off because that fear, that shock of what happened would wear off. However, I believe that if Jacob came into my office because I was being a busybody and he sat down and admonished me and firmly told me that I needed to get more work done, that I needed to be doing more in my time, well, that would resonate a little bit better with me because it was done with firmness, with the idea that, Zach, you've got to do better. You've got to do more. But it wasn't done with the shock and the yelling. God has the same patience with us. He has the same firmness with us in our deeds. We read of this in Romans chapter 2, that his patience has reprimanding, that God is patient in order to lead us to repentance. And that's how we should be with those who are idle. The second verb that we read is encouragement, to encourage those who are weak, those who are struggling, encourage the faint-hearted. That means if we notice someone who is dealing with a certain trial or temptation, and we go up to them and we try and help them through it, we encourage them that they can do it, that they can get through it with God's help. In my mind, I think of someone who is worried about the small things, the minuscule things in life that constantly get them down, that they're constantly stressed about. You know, if someone is constantly stressed about that, then all we have to do is remind them that those small things don't really truly matter. Those small things are just there to help us get through our day-to-day lives. This is where our patience comes in. Our patience in encouraging someone who constantly is getting down might begin to grind on us with the same problems, the same, oh, I'm dealing with this thing this week, oh, I'm dealing with that this week. We need patience in order to constantly come back with that encouragement to help them. The third verb we read of is to help someone. Help means to make something easier for someone. Specifically, this one is helping the weak. We all have an image of weakness in our minds. In my mind, I constantly go to my grandparents. They're older. They're not as spry as they used to be. They're losing their strength. At my wedding, my grandma fell and hurt herself. And it was one of those things that reminded me that they're getting older. And if I'm told to help the weak, that means I am out there helping my grandma with what she needs. I'm there helping my grandparents with whatever they need because they need that help. But this still means we need patience with our help because we could be doing something that we have no really reason, rhyme or reason to why we're doing it as other than helping them. And it could get boring. It could get tiring. But if we have patience, then we'll continually do it to get through it. Patience is not only adaptable and universal, but it also makes unity possible. As Christians, one of our goals is spiritual unity. It's the idea of togetherness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we see Paul telling us, encouraging us to walk in a manner according to which we have been called. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. Well, you see, in order to maintain that unity, we need those characteristics, that those specifics he goes into, using humility, gentleness, patience, and with all love. You see, patience helps us to maintain unity. It helps us to create unity. Because if we have patience, then we're more easily able to deal with problems, with the situations that arrive. Patience keeps us from ruining our relationships. If we don't have patience, our lives can be devastated. Imagine if someone came to you and they had a problem with you. And instead of listening to this problem, you just brushed it off. You just pushed it off like it didn't matter. Because you didn't have time to deal with that right now. You didn't have time to deal with whatever issue they had. Without patience, our coworkers would not want to be around us. Without patience, our children would not want to listen to us. Patience is key to maintaining our relationships and not ruining them. Because if we show patience to someone else, it shows that we care. It shows that we truly care for what they're dealing with, what they need. See, my parents had patience with me in my teenage years. I was, in their terms, crazy. I was doing whatever I kind of wanted, not listening to them, because I thought I knew it all. But my parents had patience with me, enough to admonish me when I was doing something wrong, enough to encourage me when I felt downhearted, enough to help me when, even though I didn't think it, but I was weak. My parents had patience with me to help me grow. That's the type of patience we need to have with those in our lives, the patience that helps each other grow. Not only does patience help us from ruining our relationships, but it helps us to examine the needs of our brothers and sisters. If I have patience with Bailey, then I can see what's stressing her out. If I have patience with Bailey, then I can understand why she's frustrated, and I can find a way to help her. However, if I'm impatient, then that just adds to the stress. That just adds to the frustration because it seems like I don't want to deal with it. It seems like I don't care. Our patience helps us to take a step back. Take a step back and look at what is going on and examine the needs that are there. If someone is asking for help in regards to moving or something along that lines, then if we have impatience when we show up, then we're going to be there constantly looking at our watches, constantly looking at when it's going to finish up. But if we have patience, then we're going to do it with all joy. We're going to be working and happy to be there because we're helping out a brother. Not only does patience help us to examine the needs around us, but it helps us to further the work of the kingdom. We're told to be lights of the world. I mentioned that earlier, that Jesus is the light that leads us. And if we're on that path, then we're in the light. But we're told to be lights of this world. We're told to lead others to Christ. And if we do that without patience, no one will listen to us. If we don't have patience with trying to spread the gospel, then no one will listen to us. However, if we have patience, then others will tend to listen to us better because we're taking time to listen to what they want to study, what they want to learn about, rather than what we want to get to, what the checklist we have in our Bible study to cover. Rather, we study based on someone's needs, based on what someone is interested in, someone has questions about. And if we have patience with this, that means we're more willing to work around it. Our patience with Bible study and evangelizing will help us to come across as amicable and personable, as someone who is willing to talk, willing to help. Our patience goes a long way in showing the world what a Christian truly is. The most important reason to develop patience is simple. The patience we grow will help us to understand God's love for us. The patience we grow will help us to understand God's patience for us. He shows us patience in everything, when we slip up, when we struggle. And he is an example of patience in everything. He patiently waits for us to focus on him. He patiently waits for us to live our lives as he has asked us to. The greater understanding that we have of that, the greater understanding that we have of Christ and God's patience for us, then the greater understanding we will have as Christians. Patience shows itself in so many facets of our lives. It's adaptable, it's universal, and it helps us to make unity possible. And so I want to challenge all of us here to grow our patience, to work on building our patience up so we can come across as we are supposed to, so we can live our lives as we are supposed to. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, thanking you for your patience with us, thanking you for the ability to to wait for us to focus on you, to wait for us to focus our lives on you and live as you have asked us to. We pray that as we continue this week and as we go out, that we will have patience with all those who are around us, that we will patiently deal with any problems that come with our lives. Thank you so much for your son's death on the cross, and it's his name we pray. Amen. If there is anybody here who has been studying the Bible and trying to figure out for themselves what it truly means to follow God, this time we have set aside to invite you to obey the gospel, to put on Christ and put away the old you, to follow Christ and commit yourself to him in doing his will rather than your own. If there is any of those among us today, won't you come now while we stand and sing?